Welcome to the 205 Vibe Podcast. We're going to call this, Melissa, I think we should call this the Fine Arts Hall of Fame Edition. What do you think?
That's correct. I love it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we should, that's the appropriate term for all these wonderful inductees that we've been interviewing. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we do have with us the one, the only, Lon Hogberg. Lon, thank you for being here. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks.
So what was it like when you got the call? Like,
it was Lon. A surprise.
Yeah.
I truthfully, I had not heard of it before then, so that made it even more of a surprise.
So you've been a local here, and we were just talking about Guilford and your, some of your local ties. Tell us about your journey, kind of through, you know, Rockford Public Schools, your experiences. What were those like? What was that like for you, along your kind of fine arts journey?
Yeah. I had introductions to fine arts from birth, I guess, almost. My aunt was a drama coach at East for years and years and years. And my dad did directing of Rich Illicit Divan stuff for Tabala, the Masonic stuff. So I would occasionally attend shows at East. I got to sit backstage. I remember sitting watching the fly system being run and Stutch back there at East, in the original East. Took piano lessons. I got the right hand down first. I got the chopsticks down, and then it's time to put chords, and I could do chords, but I couldn't put the right and left hand together. So that's when I decided the piano wasn't mine. But I still use it today because I remember three chords. And when I'm doing a sound check on a piano, I can sound like I sort of know what I'm doing. And then I don't. But
that's a lot further than most people get. A lot of people, at least I
don't know how I remembered them, but they're there. It's all automatic now.
You made it into a lifelong skill.
Yes, look at that. Yes, that's a great point. You actually can use it. Yep. Lon, before we jump into any more questions, look, I know our podcast listeners can't see this, but, I mean, you brought in this really nice folder of just, you know, some things you've collected throughout the years. Since you brought it, you have to tell us a little bit about, you know, what's in there? Why is that important to you? Is there anything that stands out that really special to you? You know, I know people save stuff through the years, but you thought enough of this occasion and this opportunity for us to speak to you. You brought it. What are your thoughts when you brought that?
I'm a bit of a pack rat. I do save a lot of stuff until I know I can't use it anymore. But it's programs that back to, I think there might even be something in there from grade school, of events that I've worked on in some way or another. And it's a great way to remember them because it doesn't get better with age. And having those visual keys are pretty helpful.
That's you know what? You probably got some secret formulas and codes and all how to do that. It's probably going to be worth some money, Melissa, I think. What do you think? I think there's some valuable stuff.
There's some pretty cool artifacts here that date back for some Rockford Public School fine arts events and activities that are worth the look for sure.
So, you know, Melissa's with me because typically I do the show, but I've enjoyed having her kind of co-host with me when it comes to the arts. Melissa, first tell us just, you know, when is the Fine Arts Hall of Fame banquet? When is that happening?
Sure. The 2024 RPS Fine Arts Hall of Fame banquet is Friday, May 10th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Illinois Bank and Trust Pavilion at Aldine Golf Club. You can get your tickets now by going to rps205.com/finearts.
So, you know, jump in there, Melissa. You and Lon, you work together. This is kind of your expertise. What question do you have for Lon about this whole experience and being inducted? What do you have?
Well, I know Lon professionally, but I didn't obviously know him as a theater student and a theater artist as a kid. So I kind of want to hear about your journey at Guilford High School, where it seems like you really got into technical theater.
Yeah, I'll go back a little bit further, actually. I did in grade school, fifth or sixth grade, whatever it is, they start introducing band.
Okay.
I ended up on the trumpet. I think one of the reasons is you only use one hand. I didn't have to coordinate two hands. So that was good. I don't remember a whole lot of details, but I also did my first show that I remember in sixth grade. It was a Tom Sawyer-type show that the whole school put together. and helped with scenery for that. And I liked it well enough that I signed up for a summer school class at Eisenhower in theater. And Mr. Carney, I think, was the teacher. And did several shows that summer and continued to do it at the middle school. My eighth grade was the year that everything shut down because of the tax referendums didn't get accepted.
Remember that, yeah.
So eighth grade, I didn't have anything. Then they approved it all, so ninth grade, everything came back. So now I'm at Guilford, and they had a year where nobody did anything. So they had a little bit of probably apathy.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have as many people know what they were doing, and I didn't really either at that point in time yet. So I got sort of thrown into doing tech at Guilford with Mr. Bill Durham. He was the longtime theater drama teacher there, and he was there my whole time.
Okay.
And I learned on the fly. I found like a college thesis paper my aunt had written. She went to Northwestern in theater before she took the job at East and studied that and tried to implement the things that she had in there about how to do lighting and how to do sets and stuff. And slowly improved over time through trial and error, basically.
So tell me, you know, I love hearing that story. You know, I've been asking creative people, because I am the least creative people person that I know. It's me. But what when you, even in the sixth grade, and you talked about the trumpet, and you talked about, you know, setting up the stage in the sixth grade, Tom Sawyer, what intrigued you about that? Was it a feeling? Was it like something like, I really like this? This is something that I can do. I enjoy it. What made you kind of, when you first kind of got into it, and as you know, your career advanced and the years go by, you know, what does that look like? What does that feel like when you find something like that?
I think it was something different, something that I hadn't done. Maybe a little bit of the bloodline was part of the reason it attracted me, but just the camaraderie too is part of it. Certainly, you're working with a bunch of other people and doing things as a team.
Well, tell us about some other experiences that along the way that have influenced you in the work that you've done. Where do you get some of your inspiration
from? The other big piece that's the other sort of half of me, which is very closely tied with the theater half, is electronics. Guilford, when I was there, had a pretty good industrial arts department that had shop and cars and electronics. And I signed up and took 4 years of electronics class. The first two were structured. The second two were independent study, because the instructor was Mr. Cowell, took me on and helped teach me independently beyond the normal two classes that they offered. And in that time, I worked on and learned how to build a dimmer system.
Oh, my gosh.
And built that as a side on the side and started using it for events shortly at the end of my high school career and after.
Can you explain really quick to the listeners what a dimmer system is?
It's the thing that hooks into the electrical outlets in your house or theater or whatever, and the lights plug into, and then you've got a board that you can turn the lights on and off on different areas of the stage, set the different intensities and stuff.
Was that the first dimmer system at Guilford?
That wasn't for Guilford. It was portable.
Okay.
And the system at Guilford was still functional some of the time, and Mr. Cowell and I would work on things in the theater too, and the sound system was pretty much dead at that point. So I had a friend whose dad worked at Greenlee, and they had conduit pulling in capability and stuff. So we went in and we redid the sound system to where it was until this most recent renovation, and it got the theater through for 30 years probably
before 2014.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
That's amazing. I did not know that.
I've been in every little corner of that theater rewiring and running conduits and other stuff.
So is there something in the work that you've done, all the things and performances, things you've been a part of, is there something that you are really proud of or something that really stands out as very memorable for you?
Yeah, the Guilford shows, Jesus Christ Superstar, Rent, are probably the two that stand out the best, which is an interesting combination. and some of the, I made another list, some of the others, the Hairspray and Avenue Q, both showed up as Guilford favorites. So those, All City was fun. Little bit different feel to it because you're working in different places and moving everything in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at that list, and it's sort of inclusion of all four shows sort of talk about inclusion and take fair treatment of people.
They absolutely do. What a through line. What a great theme that, yeah, you just happened upon when you were picking out your favorite things. That's great. That's awesome.
So, Lon, you have a lot of, clearly you have lots of different tastes and you have lots of different talents. We were speaking earlier, you know, a lot of creative people who go, whether it's theater or art, whatever the case may be, music, you know, they pour all of their time and make it a career. Whereas you actually did some other things as far as a career path. And for our listeners and our students who may want to get into that, talk about, you know, your ability to be diverse and do the work that you do, but also, you know, maintain a full-time job and, right. and other yep. things.
Yeah, toward junior, senior year when you start making those decisions, what am I going to do next? It was a tough decision. Do I want to go down the theater route? Do I want to go down the engineering route? Prior, I had looked at a veterinarian route. I had looked at other things that had an interest, but those two came to the forefront. And I sort of made the decision, I like them both. I like them both equally. They're interrelated because I'm tech theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I could make a career out of the engineering and do the theater on the side better than I could do it the other way around. Mm. It's hard to design aircraft electronics on the side.
Sure.
You don't do it. And obviously it also had the aspect that the engineering side could help fund getting the theater side business sort of going. And the business aspect of it didn't really kick in until college when a friend asked me to come and do some lights at a dance, and I took what I had made since. I actually made lights out of coffee cans.
Oh, wow.
I mounted a socket in the back end and cut a colored gel frame holder out of the lid of the coffee can.
Mm.
And use those to do this dance. And I thought, wow, this is fun. I'm really enjoying it. I get to go to this dance for free. And I don't think I got paid anything. But then the other side of it hit that if I'm going to do this as a business, I need to do the music too.
Mm.
Because people might occasionally hire you to do just lights, but they're more likely to hire you to do sound, the DJ, and lights. So my roommate was a little bit into music too. So we got together and threw his records and some of my records in a turntable and bought a couple speakers and started DJing. And that expanded quite a bit. We did lots of fraternity and sorority parties at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. And then when I moved back home, Rockford, to take my job at Sunstrand, I brought it back and transitioned it into primarily wedding DJs because that's their people they're going to pay you to hire you to do a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that still do it occasionally, but I don't run the business anymore. It's pretty much done, but lots and lots of weddings. and then I did the other side with the theater stuff. So I would do events. I would do help out at the schools. And then I got involved with Main Street Players of Boone County, which is Bill Durham actually is a founding member.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a theater group, community theater, and I've been involved with them ever since. And they do a lot of nice shows. Seussical,
sure.
I did
sure.
Seussical with them, and that was a highlight, another one of those highlights. The set was just colorful, like Seussical's supposed to be, and
right.
lots of colors in the lights and such.
That's a good segue into like the next kind of question I want to ask you about. We're talking about lighting, right? And for people who might may hear this or thinking, you know, what is a person who does the lights? What do they really do? It's not just, oh, let me just turn the lights on. what is the thought and the, you know, your whether it's strategic, your art, what do you aim to say? Talk about, you know, what the different types of lighting that needs to
yeah.
be for different productions and different things that you do. How do you go about that process of making sure that this needs just the right kind of light or this doesn't? Or how do you go through that process?
The first step is to understand your event. If you're doing Rent, a theater production, versus doing a high school dance versus doing ambient lighting for a wedding party or something. You got to understand what you need to do. The theater, obviously, stuff is much more artistic in its own way because you're trying to convey the mood of the show at that particular time in the show, and doing subtle color changes because your mind reacts different to different colors on the stage, and trying to set that theme, whether it's setting the locale, the time of day, or just the mood. Obviously, the other stuff that you just want to make it look cool and be happy.
Sure.
For the dances and the wedding receptions. And stuff.
So in the theater stuff, do you actually have to kind of read the script and kind of know, you got to know all the scenes?
It depends a little bit on your director.
Okay.
I've done events where I walk in and set up basic lights and then work with the director and do what they want. I've had other cases where I've done the design work and presented it to the director and said, this is what I think. Usually it's a collaboration somewhere between the two. Because they'll have an idea, and then I'll say, well, how about this? And they'll say, cool, or they'll say, I hate it, or whatever.
That's a lot of sitting in the house of the auditorium yelling back and forth. How's this? No, too dim, too loud.
That's a granular lip. So as we talk about, you know, students, right? This is when you've been in our system, you've gone to our schools, and we have lots of talented people who've come through our system. What advice would you give, you know, just a young person who is looking in the world of, you know, whatever it is, but lights in particular? What would you give for if they want to pursue a career in the arts?
Yep. Find something that you're passionate about. Find something that you really like. Because if you don't like it, you're not going to enjoy it. You got to find that thing or group of things or whatever it may be that you really like to do, and then become passionate about it. Have a great work ethic. I think that's number one, is doing this stuff isn't quick and easy sometimes. You got to put in the time and you got to get sleepy. And I mean, we've seen people fall asleep at the school sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know who I mean. So you got to be dedicated to what you're doing and go for it.
Awesome. Hey, Melissa's been great to work with so far. What was she like? What was she like, you know, back then?
I've seen her yell a lot.
Yeah.
Yell? What do you mean? No, I can project my voice. That's what
she
it
does
is.
Not need a microphone.
No, I don't.
But she does it in a meaningful way.
Yes, of course she does. Melissa, what else? Do you have anything else that you'd like to ask before we get out of here?
I wanted to know if your two children, have you ever talked to them about how they have kind of been inspired by you because of what they studied in the school and possibly what they are doing professionally now?
I don't know if we've talked about it, but it's definitely true. I mean, Addie's a senior at U of I in theater, tech theater. She's moments hopefully away from getting a job on a cruise line.
Oh,
that's so
doing
exciting.
Nice. A water-based performance. So both my kids are certified scuba divers.
That's awesome.
And she's gonna take the job where she's underwater during the performance, handling the underwater portion of it.
That's okay. Heavy.
I can't imagine what that looks like, and now I need to take a cruise to see.
That's a great iteration and extension of what her father and the stuff you did. That's awesome.
Yep,
fantastic.
Yep.
Well, Lon, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm happy. We've been doing these by Zoom, so it's great to sit across from you and see you and hear all the wonderful things that you did. Very, very deserving of this honor, and appreciate your time. Anything else you'd like to say before we get out of here? Anybody you want to shout out, or any teachers, or anybody you remember, anybody you want to recognize?
Well, I hit the heavy ones for who really influenced me most. I guess we could go back on Marty McDaniel.
All right.
At Eisenhower, yes. Certainly is one. And Bill Durham and Mr. Cowell, no longer with us, either of them. Are the main people that contributed to what I am from both aspects.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Hey, before we get out here, I got three questions, right? I just ask everybody just to get to know you a little better. And shout out, ladies and gentlemen, shout out to my producer, the one and only Kimberly Pedersen in the building. Hey, Kim, I just always want to say hi. We see you over there. She did a great job with our production. Okay, Lon. It's a special occasion, and someone wants to take you out to eat. Is there like a favorite dish that you can, your go-to dish, or a favorite restaurant, a place you like to go? What's something that someone can put in front of you, you can just eat and be like, okay, this is fine?
I tend towards seafood when I go out a lot.
Okay.
Because it's more hard to cook yourself, I think, than beef or a burger or something. I haven't been there for a bit, but Lucerne's
would be definitely
on my list of places to go for a special event.
I love it. See, everyone has said something different. Lon, if you're at home relaxing or in your car or you listen to some music, is there a particular artist or a particular genre of music that, you know, you can just, that's just kind of your go-to, you can listen to anytime?
This is crazy. The answer is really no. Okay. I listen to all kinds of different things. Cheap Trick.
Okay.
Definitely Cheap Trick. REO Speedwagon.
Yes.
So 80s stuff. All right. Definitely.
I love it. I love it.
But I'll throw on Cajun Creole music. I'll throw on piano jazz. I'll throw on sax jazz. So jazz fits in there.
Okay.
So a big variety.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you. So I love it. We hear it's something different. And then lastly, in the world of cinema, television, is there something that, is there a movie that you can be like, I can watch, this is my 30th time watching this, or is there a show that you're watching, or is there something that, you like to see on the tube?
The TV is minimal. Netflix movie stuff on TV at home is quite a bit of, but, I've got the ones that come to mind as favorites are Blues Brothers and some of those 80s movies that everybody's, not everybody anymore, some people probably don't know who it is, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
All right, Rocky Horror.
Current stuff tends towards sci-fi.
Okay.
Marvel, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. See, we get to know you just a little bit more in detail, a little bit better. So thank you for taking the time to answer those. Thank you again for your time. We really appreciate it. And again, congratulations, sir.
Yep. Thank you. I'm honored.
Thank you for listening to the 205 Vibe podcast. Subscribe to the 205 Vibe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening now. Check out the blog, videos, and news on rps205.com/205vibe.